this, you want this one too? Want everything else I got? Amen. You know, as ministers, sometimes we move into town, and there was this minister that moved fresh into town, and he went around and he started seeing all the new parishioners and started visiting with them, and he went to this one door and he knocked, and he could tell somebody was in there, but they just would not come to the door. So he knocked some more and he come to the door, and so then, I mean, they didn't come to the door, and he waited a little bit, and no one ever showed up. So he left a card there and wrote on it Revelations 3:20, and then he just stuck it in the door jamb there for him. So the next day he was at his office and he was counting money, and there was a card in there, and it said below the message was Genesis 3:10. And so now I'm just to tell you what Revelations 3:20 says, and Genesis 3:10 says. Revelations 3:10 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That's what he's saying. I'm knocking. "And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and be and dine with him, and he'll be with me." Now Genesis 3:10 says, "And he said, I heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." Amen. So that is a good reason not to answer your door. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, God is good, and I trust you're having a great Christmas season so far. Jesus really is the reason for this season. Amen. And we know through different things that he was not born on December 25th. That's not a revelation to all of us. But you know what? It is the time that we celebrate his birth. Amen. Hallelujah. Whatever time he was born, some say March, some say September, I don't care. We're celebrating it on December 25th. Amen. And that's when we do it, and that's the way it is, and that's how we're going to do it. Amen. And so you can argue, you can fuss and fight over it, but we're still going to celebrate December 25th as his birthday. Amen. As him coming to us. And we know in the Christmas story that we have the main person, Jesus, getting born, and we have his mother, Mary, and we talk a lot about Joseph, and then there's Elizabeth. There's quite a few characters or people involved into the Christmas story, into the Christmas theme, and all that was going around. My wife said Wednesday night as she was ministering, before all of this started, there was 400 years of silence. God wasn't doing anything. He wasn't telling the angels to do anything. He wasn't telling people anything. He was said, you know, you got my word. That's all you need. Sometimes that's what we need, is just to do the word. Amen. And so anyway, there was 400 years of silence from God. Man, I'm glad we're not in that realm right now. Amen. Glory to God. But so things started happening. And one of the main characters in this Christmas story is the angels. Amen. And so that's what we're going to minister on this morning, the angels at Christmas. Glory to God. And the one main angel that was appeared was Gabriel. And so anyway, we're going to get into that this morning. And so, but I want to first tell you that angels are all throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. They're in the Bible. And so, you know, some of the message, sometimes they were there to worship and then it says in Isaiah 6, 2 and 3, "And above stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two covered his face, and two covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried out to the other, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Amen. So sometimes angels are just out proclaiming the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. It sounds a little bit like what we ought to be doing, doesn't it? Amen. Out proclaiming the glory of God, his goodness. Amen. And then sometimes the angels were sent to encourage people. And so it says in Matthew 4:11, "Then the devil left him, and behold, the angel came and ministered to him." Who was that? That was Jesus. Amen. Jesus was out in the wilderness and fasted 40 days. He came back and he had a little conflict with the devil, and then he sent them away, and the angel came and ministered to Jesus. Amen. Sometimes the message was sent for one's protection. And it states that in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. "And now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take thy young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So we see that angels sometimes are sent to protect you. Amen. You know, it's just like the word today. We have the option of obeying or not obeying. Amen. Now, obviously, the angel here, and I think Joseph and Mary understood who they were, who their child was. Amen. He was the son of the Most High. Glory to God. So they listened, and Jesus was protected. Glory to God. And then sometimes the message depends on warfare. We see in Daniel 10:10, sometimes visible, sometimes invisible, we have angels. And in Daniel 10:10, it talks about the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone in there with the kings of Persia. So we see that sometimes angels help fight our battles. Amen. Daniel had prayed, and just to give you a brief background, Daniel had prayed, and for 21 days he was waiting for the answer to come, and it wasn't coming. But Daniel stood strong. Amen. Glory to God. Because you don't get your answer the first day, do you just give up? No. Thank you for those three no's. Thank you. Amen. Let's start over all over again. No. Amen. No. But there's times we have to keep standing because there is spiritual warfare that's going on. Amen. And sometimes we got to wait because we're going to keep speaking the word until we get our answer. Glory to God. And then there was in Joshua chapter 5, 13 through 15, an angel showed up for protection. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite of him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, Are you for us? Are you for us or are you our adversaries? And he said, No, but the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his, because this was more than just an angel. Amen. This was the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of an angel. Amen. We know that because of the histories, and we notice that man was capitalized. Anytime the angel is capitalized, it means it's talking about Jesus. And so we see that angels show up. But this morning, we're going to concentrate the little time that we have left this morning on the angels that showed up at Christmas time and are at the time of Jesus' birth. And so the choice was revealed. So let's open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to look there first. And we're going to be reading a lot of scriptures out of this today, so just believe that I don't fumble it up too bad here. Amen. Hallelujah. And it says in Luke chapter 1, we're going to start here with verse 26. Amen. Now this is Gabriel again. It says, Now the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Amen. You know, if you're born again today, you have found favor with God. God is not mad at you. Amen. God is not against you, but God is for you. Glory to God. And if it says in verse 31, And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Glory to God. It's still going on. His kingdom is still going forth. Amen. Hallelujah. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of Man. And now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now her sixth month for her who is born, who has been childbearing. Verse 37, For with God nothing is impossible. I like how the angel ends that. For with God, nothing is impossible. And Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word." And the angel departed from her. You ever notice she never questioned God's plan? She just asked, "How's that going to happen?" And you know, he was pretty direct, and he's just kind of saying, "You know what? The Holy Spirit's going to come over you. God's going to do it, and you're going to have his son." And she says, "Okay, be it according to your word." Amen. And you know what? She fell into shame. They accused her of fornication. It was not easy carrying Jesus. Amen. Sometimes in our daily walk, it is not easy carrying Jesus. Amen. Has he birthed some things in you that you feel you need to tell somebody sometime, doesn't he? Amen. And we feel like we got to get this out. We got to know who we are in Christ Jesus. We got to tell people. Amen. And yet, sometimes we hold it back. But I like how she said, "Be it according to your word." Amen. Do you ever read the word and all of a sudden it ministers life to you? And you just receive it and you grab a hold of it. Glory to God. That is you saying, "Be it according to your word." Amen. Your faith in him, your trust in him. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now the second thing that happened, the angel appears to Joseph. Amen. Mary had told Joseph the news, and we find him talking to Joseph. Now you can imagine that when she had told Joseph, how disappointed that she was because he had planned on marrying her, and they were going through the things of engagement for that time, which is basically almost saying you're married, but you have not consummated the marriage yet. And so, anyhow, so we find Joseph pondering, "I love her, but I'll just put her out of the way secretly." Because it would have been okay to take her to the center of town and stone her, to get rid of her. But you know what? He was a man of compassion. And he said, "I'm just going to get rid of her secretly." And then, while he was sleeping, let's look here at Matthew 1, verses 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary had betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, of her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which she has conceived is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" Hallelujah. "And for all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, a child shall be, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him at his wife. And they did not know each other till Jesus was brought forth." Amen. Let me just say that 20. "And they did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and they called his name Jesus." Amen. Hallelujah. There was no debating over the name and who he was and what he was going to accomplish. Amen. He was going to be the Savior of the Israelite people. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that he included us. Amen. Aren't you? Because we were Gentiles. Most of us aren't Jewish. Amen. Hallelujah. If you got any Jewish in you, that's just enough. But anyhow, It included us. He grafted us in. He brought us into the fold. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That vision that he gave Peter, as Peter was sitting on the roof minding his own business, is that not vision, but he fell into a trance, the Bible says. And he said, showed him all different kinds of food he was eating that he don't eat. He said, what I call good, why do you call it bad? And he's talking about us, the Gentiles. He's talking about us being able to come to Jesus and have him as a Savior. And then they sent him over to Cornelius' house. Amen. And his whole household got saved. Hallelujah. Amen. That changed everything. That changed it for you. Amen. And then I think it's in Acts chapter 15, they had a big council meeting. They brought everybody in and saying, I don't know about this Gentiles being saved. And you know, Peter, he had that big mouth. He finally spoke up and said, I was minding my own business one day on top of the roof. It just cracks me up every time I read that. For us, commonly, it's not common, but back then that was common for that to take place. And so, because I don't get my ladder out every day and go sit up on the peak. I just don't do that. Especially in Bullhead City. Amen. In July. But all that changed in that conference. And when Peter started saying, this is what happened when I went to the house. They received Jesus and spoke in tongues. Amen. Hallelujah. Included us. Now let's go back 6 months earlier, and let's look at Elizabeth. I love this portion of Scripture. So good. Because Zacharias sounds a little bit like you and I sometimes. Amen. And let's start here with verse 10. And it says here in Luke 1:10, and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside the hour. Since now Zacharias was a priest, and he went in there to do his job with the incense and lighting and stuff, and that the hour incense. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Well, I think most of us would probably be a little shaken. Because you just kind of picture as Gabriel being big, being strong, ready to take care of business, proclaiming the Lord's word with a voice that has meaning. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. You know how your dad used to talk to you sometime? Amen. Your mom always had to throw in the middle name, but your dad just always said your first name. Amen. All right. Enough of that. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And we're going to jump down to verse 18, because 15, 16, and 17 talks about him becoming a Nazarite when he's older. Let's go to verse 18. And Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. I love this. And the angel answered and said, am I not Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you to bring you glad tidings? If you wanted to see an angel a little upset, that was probably that time. I mean, here you got this guy standing there, and you know he's an angelic being, and you start saying, well, how do I know this is going to happen? Well, it's freaky enough that you're the only one in there, and all of a sudden you got somebody with you, and he's proclaiming what the Lord's going to do in your life, telling that your wife's going to not be barren no more, that you're going to have the son that you always dreamed about but never did have. Yeah. Amen. Amen. This is, it's even better.
But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day of these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time.
So, here you got, you could probably just see Zacharias trying to talk inside there. Not getting anything out. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service was completed, he departed to his own house. Now after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me and took away my approach among people." Because when you couldn't have a child back then, it was taken very seriously that you had done something wrong. I'm glad things have changed in that area. Amen. So here we got Zacharias and his wife, and she's pregnant. She's hiding out for 5 months in her house, and he can't say a word. Boy, his wife probably, this is a dream come true. The sad thing about this is, he could have talked the whole time. He could have been rejoicing with his wife, but he decided at the time, "I'm not going to believe what you're saying." Doubt and unbelief will always put you out. Amen. And I wrote this down. What would happen to us if we read the word, "Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world," and you say, "Oh, I don't know," and all of a sudden you became quiet? Some of us would have a hard talking our whole life. We would be silent most of the time. I'm just saying. As Ricky said, watch your words. But you had to write down, "I agree. God, you are greater inside of me. Oh, I can talk again. Thank you, Lord." And then you go outside the house and say, "Boy, my neighbor messed up my yard." Zip. Can't talk again. Why? Because you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. So until you get over yourself and write down, "I love my neighbor," then you can talk again. Wouldn't that be fun? It would. Yeah. When Ricky'd be getting short with Chelsea, all of a sudden, boom. Can't say a word. Hallelujah. She just walked by and say, "You're a little short, wasn't you?" No. When we don't agree with the word of God, we should be conscious of it and say, "Lord, I repent of that, and I'm lining myself up to the word." Amen. And so when Elizabeth had the baby, he still couldn't talk. And so they brought the baby out, and they're saying, "Was his name going to be Zacharias?" And she said, Elizabeth said, "No, his name's going to be John." "John? Why John? That's hard to say in Arabic."
And so she's trying to defend what God has told her. And so finally, Zacharias wrote on a name because he should have been named after the father. That's what they did back in those days. And we still do it some today. Amen. We just say junior, senior, third, fourth, fifth, however you want to do it. But he came out and he had to write down, his name is John. And when he showed that, he lined himself up with the word again. And he was free to talk. I bet that felt good. I bet he wanted to tell Elizabeth some of the things that he was going through at the time when he couldn't talk. He probably wanted to, when he felt the baby kick in the stomach, he probably wanted to talk to her about that, but he couldn't. He was constrained. And I think sometimes we constrain ourselves with our own words than when we don't line up to the Word of God. We're messengers ourselves. Hallelujah. You know what I like about Joseph? He didn't have all the answers. He wasn't sure how all this was going to play out. But he had faith that what he heard was the truth. And he also had tremendous courage to walk with Mary through this. Amen. Another thing about the Christmas message and with angels is it's a great time for joy. Hallelujah. So let's look at the shepherds. Let's go to Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. We'll start there. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Okay, let's set the scene here. They're at nighttime. Electricity has not been invented yet. There are no spotlights. There might be some candlelight, maybe a lantern-type light. And all of a sudden stood before them was shining bright and big and tall. And how would you act? That don't impress me. No, you'd probably be getting a little freaked out. And the angel said one of his famous statements here, do not be afraid. I should look that up, how many times that was said from angels. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. All people. Amen. Not just a select few, but all people. For there was born to you this day in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was an angel, a multitude, a heavenly host, praising God, singing, glory to God in the highest, and peace. Glory to God on the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards man. So all of a sudden, they found out what stereo sounded like. They're there, and the angel are sitting behind them. The voice is, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards man. It was when the angel had gone from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the sayings which were told concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen and was told them. Amen. Glory to God. Isn't it wonderful that the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, was announced to to the shepherd. Our great shepherd announcements was told to the shepherds. Amen. Told to a people that really was on the lower class of society. But man, and you know one thing the angel said, you got to go? He didn't say that. They went. See, when we draw nigh to Jesus, He'll draw nigh to us. They went and saw Him. When I started thinking about this and getting this all tied up and ready for today, I kept thinking, what would we be like if we came and we worshiped the Lord and we sought His face and we're built up and charged up like the shepherds to go out and say His goodness. Bring people the glad tidings they need. A Savior was born, and He was born for you. Amen. But a lot of times we just keep it all for ourselves. I love the Lord, but I don't know about sharing the Lord. You know, we're messengers. We're not angelic messengers. But our thing here at Spirit Life Church is Spirit Life Church doing the works of Jesus from the river to the world. We're proclaimers. I don't need an angel behind me to say what I'm going to do. I need to realize that, hey, He is greater than I. Amen? And what He wants me to say, and that's what I'm going to do. We're messengers. Amen. We may not be flying around with wings, and we may not be translated from here to there, but I'm telling you what, we do have things that transport us, our vehicles. And when our vehicles stop at some place, we're there for a natural cause, but we might be there for a spiritual cause. Someone needs to know the good news of why Jesus came. Someone needs to hear what you have inside of you. Someone needs to know that Jesus is alive and well. Amen. And what a greater time than this season that we're living in that we can proclaim Jesus. Amen. I was listening on the radio the other day, and there was Christmas songs playing. I thought, man, all these songs I'm hearing are all about Jesus. It was so wonderful. I went for quite a while, I forget how long it was, I didn't hear one Santa Claus song. Because it's not about Santa Claus. It's about the gift that was given to us from above. Amen? Now, is giving gifts and all that great? Yeah. God gave us the best gift. The lights. Jesus is the light of the world. Let's put lights up. Amen. But when we just get so, it's all about me, then we have to watch what we're doing. Because it's about Jesus who came. And the Bible said, for us all. All of us. Amen. I'm so glad that includes me. So glad it includes you. I'm so glad it includes your neighbor. Amen. It includes everyone. So angels were a huge part of this time of history. And actually it was God saying, I'm getting involved back into this thing. I've had it planned out. It was a set time. And that time came. And you know what? It's a set time that he's coming back for us too. Just how we're thinking, I don't know, I got to do this, I got to get these things. It won't matter on God's clock when he says, Jesus, it's time. It'll be time. Amen. But until that time, it says for us to occupy. And what do we occupy our time with? Well, we do good things. But are we sharing the love of Jesus? Are we sharing about his goodness? Are we conscientious that there is a whole world that needs to know Jesus? Amen. There is a whole city, a tri-state area, that needs to know Jesus. Amen. And you know who the messengers are? People like you and me. Amen. So it's up to us to spread the good news about Jesus, that he came to earth. We worship him. We love him. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? It is the time and the season for Jesus. One song says, come, let us adore him. Amen. Joy to the world. There's all kinds of songs about Jesus out right now. But maybe you're here today and you never accepted him as your Savior, as your King of Kings, as your Lord of Lords. Maybe you're here this morning thinking, I don't know all about this Christianity stuff, but you're feeling something on the inside saying, it's right. It's right. And you feel like, I need a change in some areas. I need to make some things right. Well, I think the Holy Spirit is saying this morning to you, come to me. Come to me. And if you have never come to him, this morning is a great morning to come to Jesus and ask him to be your Savior. You know, in this America, we run with excuses a lot of time. I'm busy, I got to do this, I got to do that. But there's going to be a time come when that will run out. So I don't want to barely just make it to heaven. I want to get in there and know I'm there. Where they're not scrambling to look for my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But it's highlighted. It's in bold print. It's 24 font or something. I don't know. But if you never made that decision to turn your life over to him, it's time to do that. It's time to say, I'm quitting myself and coming to Jesus. I'm going to make him Lord. I'm going to make him Savior. I'm going to help allow him to make my decisions. So if that's you this morning, I'd like you to raise your hand because I want to pray with you real shortly. It's time to come to Jesus and make him Lord. Amen. And you know what? He'll bring that joy inside of you just like the shepherds had when they got to go meet him. You'll have glad tidings. He changes your life from the inside out. And he'll make you new. So I'm going to look around one more time. Is that you this morning that needs Jesus? Is that you that's going to make your life change today by making a stand and say, I want the Lord in my life?
Is that you this morning? Is that you? Hallelujah. God is good. He don't want any to perish. He wants all to go to heaven. And He's made an easy path. Just accept.